Blog Talk Radio.
Darkness no longer, a child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby kissed his lungs. My daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knees. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the path, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen. The family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey. Serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change, it's a brand new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new day.
A change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world
day. And it's on the way. We just marched a million plus the other day. Look, look, we all witnessed the sweat rolling down Miss Liberty's head. She knows the sleeping giant, she's no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. It's okay to cry, go ahead and cry, cause Jesus wept, but hope and faith be kept. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a
change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new
day.
World order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
The die has been cast, and there's no need to fear, cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep, tell mother not to moan. We need the love, and daddy's coming home. There's no need to worry, the times dictate a plan. Mother Earth's given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're misunderstood, but hold on to your man, cause the future looks good. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
day. A change of mind for the human race.
A
new world order, a brand new
day.
A change of mind for the human race.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are many with the eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful, my friend, to obtain the same. So if you break the chain, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, and I'll say it again, it's not just to win, shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart, somehow might see, there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me, it's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a
new
change
day.
Of mind for the human race.
It's a new day. Hi, I'm Hotep, Better Love. You're listening to the Truth to Power Show. My name is Beverly, and we have Raymond Fun Troy with us. For those of you that's not familiar, he is the former president of SCLC. He's a civil rights activist. He's a singer. He was Dr. Martin Luther King driver. And he has a family. His one of his brothers was in Congress. Another brother is one of the original Tuskegee Airmen. So we have history here. And you get a chance to talk to and listen to one of our legendary history. So let's see. Raymond Futroy,
yep.
Are you there?
Francis, yes, Futroy? I am. Yes, I am.
Well, thank
here,
you
my
for
dear.
Joining
thank
us
you.
Again.
Well, thank you for being and thank
pleasure.
You for having this show. Yes. This is a wonderful platform.
Well, it's because we have people like you, and you're still active, and that's good, you know. We get to talk, how they say, you get to hear it from the person. You don't have to get information secondhand or from somebody else's opinion. We get to be able to talk to you and get it straight from the person here. So we thank you
yes.
for your service that you have done and that you're still doing. So tell us what you're doing today. What are you into today?
Well, first, all praise is due to the creator of this universe, the giver and sustainer of all life. I thank the creator for everything, all that he's made me and all that he's made you and others who listen to
yes.
what you have to say and what we have to say about where we must be as the original man, because we are the first man. We're the ones created in the image of the Creator. At least that's what I have always believed. That's what the Bible teaches me, and I believe it. So I just want to say that and thank you so much for following your purpose, because we all have a purpose of being here on this planet, and we must follow that purpose. And Dr. King taught us very well that if you can recall, some of you may, probably won't, and I would just say that Dr. King, when he won the Nobel Peace Prize, he said that every man has a purpose. We don't know our purpose, but God knows our purpose, and the only way to find out what your purpose is to communicate with the Creator. Only he knows your purpose. Your mother, your father, your teacher, your preacher does not know your purpose, only you and God, and you ask him, you ask God for your purpose, and he will give it to you if you listen. So I thank you for listening
yes.
to your purpose and doing what you're here for. Well, we're doing
yes.
so many things. There have been so many things that
okay.
we've done over the years. But I will start and just say that today we have decided that we must become activated. We've been lost. We've been quiet for so long. And it's time to do something. And when the Miami Dolphins fired the coach of a couple of years, who brought the team from zero, from losing seasons to a winning season, and in position. And I do believe that because of him and the coach and his choices, they would have gone all the way this year in this Super Bowl. But they fired him just when the team got to be capable, able to go all the way. They fire him, and then they bring in another person. And they've done this over and over. They did it in Tampa Bay when the coach brought the team from a zero, from a losing team, from a nothing team to a championship team. They fired him, and then they brought in another guy. And they've done it all over the league. And in the history of the NFL, they have consistently gotten rid of quarterbacks, in particular black quarterbacks, who were capable and superior, but they've gotten rid of them and moved in the people that they wanted in. So when they did that here, we realized that, and after the coach stood up and said, you know, enough is enough, he said that this is what they did. He told us what the truth was. He spoke out and told us that they offered him $100,000 for each game that he would lose, so that they would not get to the Super Bowl, and or not be the best, I should say. And they've done that in the history of the teams. But when you see who owns the teams, well, it's the same people doing the same thing. It's the same group of people that own everything, that own the football teams, the stadiums that they make. They have bought with our money, with the tax people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they keep it to themselves, and they spread it among themselves, and they try to keep us in a begging position. But Flores has stood up, Brian Flores is his name. He stood up and said, no,
okay,
don't stop here. He's gonna do something about it. So we felt that because he stood up, that we must stand up. And we must let the world know that we're going to back this man all the way. Not because of who he is, but because of what he's done, because of what he has said. And the same thing with Whoopi Goldberg. We feel that Whoopi spoke the truth, and they suspended her for speaking the truth. We all know that, and particularly those of us who read the Bible, know full well that the people who are calling themselves Jews are not Jews. The Bible tells us those who call themselves Jews but are not. And that's who they are, and they came to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, I'm not indicting every person that calls himself a Jew. Don't get that confused. But what I am indicting are those who are in control, those who have manipulated the humanity and have done all of these inhumane things to mankind. And they continue to do it. And until mankind takes a stand against it, comes together and stands up, it's going to continue. And I have a responsibility, I have a spiritual and a moral obligation to stand up and to say something, to stand up and do whatever I can to make life better, not only for me, my family, but for everybody. Now, some people don't feel that way, but that's on them. I do what I am here to do. And I feel like it's the right thing to do, and I think our people will catch on and do the right thing because we know something is wrong. We know there is something desperately wrong in the world today because nowhere can you go if there are not turmoil and problems everywhere. And then you realize it's the same people doing the same thing. So we've decided to organize. We're having a press conference tomorrow. We hope that it will come off right. This will be the first one we've done in years, because I used to do them all the time. But whether the press shows up or not, we're going to do what we have to do. So we're asking people not to go to the football games. Stop giving your money to people who are oppressing you, people who are killing you, shooting you in the street. And trust me, if the police are doing it, it's because of our allowing it. Okay, and I'm saying that we should not allow what's happening to continue. And the only way to do that is stand. And I'm not saying that we need to march and beg these people. No. I'm saying we need to pull our money from them. We need to put our money in our pockets or put it in our own community. We need to build our own community. We need to stop going to their supermarkets. We need to create our own supermarkets. That's what I loved about Elijah Muhammad. He had his own everything, his supermarkets, restaurants, doctors, everything. And that's what we need to go back to. And we're not there. I live in Miami, Florida. I don't have a black medical care system here that I know of. Everything is from somewhere else. Other people who've been brought into the country, set up in these businesses, and then have directed our people to them. So it's time for us to organize ourselves, our communities, and do a number of things. I know that's a lot, but there is a method by which we can do all of these things. And I have in my possession a book that was put together. It's called the Black Family Plan. And what it does is it directs us for every phase of our community what we need to do to organize it and to change the condition. It's all based on finance and money. And we have it. We're just not putting it together. We're not working together. We're not building our own communities. And if we are, we're not saying anything about it. We're too quiet. But we need to stand up, defend ourselves. You know, I'm not one of those anti-gun people. Get your gun, load it up, and be prepared. When these demons come, be prepared to defend your family and yourself. You know, and you have a right to do that. You have a God-given right to do it. And you have to do that. Don't let these people come take your country, take your land, take your government, and then tell you what to do to benefit them. That's what it is. That's what has happened. So they're now trying to take our money, take our guns from us, so that we won't be able to defend ourselves when they come. And they are coming at some point. So, you know, I know that's a mouthful, an earful, and I'm just hoping that the people will hear and begin to organize our communities and be prepared. And like I always say, this is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yes.
I want that to be clear. You know, So we got to understand what we're doing and how to do it. And that's a whole lot, but that's what we got to do.
But it can be done. I mean, we see that they're doing it in Canada. You know, they're doing non-participation, non-violence with the truckers. And, you know, it's working. So they shut the money down. And I'm right here. I'm in the Detroit area, so I see the truckers. I mean, they all lined up here on our side, on the American side. They can't get across none of the bridges. All the bridges is blocked up and pathways to get to Canada. So, it's being done. And so what we have to do is take back our minds. Because it's a mindset also. So what is, Mr. Brian, what is the press conference about? What is it that he want? He wanted to be known what happened. What is his, where he's going with this?
Well, let me say this, because I had to catch a Uber to get home today. And the Uber that I caught had to pick up another passenger. The other passenger was a young black man. He said he was 30 years old. But, baby, I had the shock of my entire life. I did not know we had gone that far down the pipe. The things that he said to me in that car, and it appears that I hope the others don't feel the way this young man does, but it appears that he does. He says he makes his living off of the games, okay? No problem. But then he starts using all kind of language and says that Flores just wanted something for himself. He wasn't thinking about the community. Now, wait a minute. Hold up, bro. Oh, I had to stop him there. But then I said, wait a minute. Let's hear this young man out, because they are the future if we allow them to lead. So I'm going to listen to what he has to say. But he had no connection to community except what he was doing for his family, and that was it. And he's a thiever. He's a thief. He's a robber. And he's a killer. He admitted all of that in the car. I can't believe my ears here. I'm saying, brother, there's a better way. He don't want to hear that. He didn't want to hear that. And I understand their pain. And I understand their disappointment and dissatisfaction to where we are. But they don't even see. He didn't even see us as a people. And that kind of breaks my heart, because that's where we have to start. We have to start to teach these young people we are a people. You know, we are the original people. And they don't have a clue, but that's our fault, because we have not taught them. We still rely on a public school system that lies to us, that teaches our children these lies, and that discriminates against our children. And we sit back and we allow it. Now, what do we do about that? In my opinion, we must start our own schools. We must institute our own curriculums, teach the truth to our people, the world history, not the United States history, the lies that they tell us about George Washington and Christopher Columbus and all the lies that they tell us, that they teach us. Because I believed that for a long time, because that's what they taught me in elementary school, junior high school, high school. I walked out of my college class because they were lying like that. I can't take this anymore. And I got up and walked out in the middle of the class, and I stated why I was leaving. Now, you know, that's where we are. And I said this to Martin Luther King Jr. one time. We used to go into the South, and you all heard all the stories about us doing voter registration throughout the South of this country.
Right.
And one year, we went to, I'll never forget it, Dillon, South Carolina. I can't remember this, but it was in South Carolina. And there was a congressman who was from that area, real redneck, a South Carolina congressman, who was over the city of Washington, D.C. They had a District of Columbia committee they would have a congressman supervisor be over. And, of course, they did not allow us to vote. We didn't have any voting rights. By the way, I was born and raised in Washington and educated in Washington. So, you know, I know what was going on, but I didn't know that this one white man controlled everything that happened in the city, everything. So we organized under the SCLC, and we went to South Carolina to register people to vote so we could vote his butt out of office. And we did. We won that battle. We voted him out and changed the electoral process in Washington. That's when we began that's when we started electing mayor and commission and all that. It still didn't change. Things still got, you know, because they were taking their direction from the Congress, from the same, you know, people who landed on Plymouth Rock. Hello. So we went down, we got rid of that. And then it struck on me. I said to Dr. King one night, we were there in a rally, and it was the first time I had been out of Washington or into a city or a town, so let's call it a town. People didn't wear suits, shirts, and ties. They had on jeans, coveralls, and some of them didn't even have shoes. Okay, but they were praising God, and we were, oh, man, we had a great time. Food was fantastic. I mean, I'm just good, buddy. I mean, this is back in the 60s. So when I realized, I said, you know, I said this to Dr. King. I said, you know, our people don't know who we are. They don't know our history. You know, but you can feel it when you go into these country towns where there are only black people, and they stay to themselves, okay? And it was just awesome for me, and that's when I realized that I had to learn more about me. And that's when I started looking into my family, to my mother. My grandmother was enslaved, okay? And she was enslaved in Annapolis, Maryland. She was from Virginia, and her my grandfather was from Ghana, and it was in St. James, Virginia. And they somehow connected, and that's why I'm here, you know. You know, I just said that our children don't know those stories. They don't know them about their own families because they've never been told that, you know. When we tell the stories of our history, they tell us we were slaves, and they tell us how they raped our mothers and sisters and sent us all over the country, and all of that thing, all those things did happen. But what they left out and what we've left out is the Spirit of God. We left out the Creator of the universe. We have to know that one came to kill, steal, and destroy. The other came to give you life. Now, you got to make a decision. You have to make a choice here. So when you make the choice for life, and you turn to each other, and not on each other as we have done, because of this insidious hatred and racism that we've gone through, and these attacks that we've had on our people, in our faces, and the things they've done to us in our faces. Until we understand that and get over it, get past it, I should say. I don't say get over it. You've got to never get over that. But get past it and do what we have to do to change it. Okay? And I'm not saying vindictive. I'm not saying be vindictive about these things. What I'm saying is stop that from happening. And I'm going to point out another thing. My brothers and sisters in Cote d'Ivoire, West Africa, are going through the same thing that we went through. And these same people are there doing the same thing that they did to us. So it is a spiritual warfare, and I make it clear. It's a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But those who have the spirit of the true living God must take a stand, must have the courage to stand on that belief, you know. So that's why I have done the things I've done, and why I try to get our people to wake us up. And as I sit and I see our cities being left, being run out of our cities all over the country, foreclosing on our homes, losing our jobs, bringing in people from other countries to take our jobs. And it's clear here in Miami, Florida, because when they had that Mariel boat lift down here, and they brought 150,000 Cubans here, and white Cubans here in 1 week. Now they run the town, and they're running the state. Now they're trying to run for president. Same people, okay? So when I saw that, I said, wait a minute. As Miami goes, so goes America. But we better organize ourselves and protect ourselves. You know, we could have stopped some of that then, but we didn't. We never came together. We never worked together. We were always divided and against one another. And that's how they were able to come in and use that racism and that hatred to take over. So now, today, in 2022, if I don't speak Spanish, I ain't get no job in the city of Miami or Dade County. I might get one job, but you're going to have a smaller job, I believe it. So that's where we are. And now, thing is, and this is in every state, I look at Michigan and the water, the Flint, Michigan thing. I got so upset with that. And when I looked at the Gulf oil spill, I looked at that, and I see the same people mm-hmm. doing the same thing. They're the ones who created this oil spill. They're the ones who broke that main up in Flint, and they were the ones who were selling mm-hmm. all the good water off to China and other countries and letting the bad water go into the black community. Yeah, that's what they were doing. So if they're doing that and we know it, what are we going to do? Are we going to accept it and act like it's okay? I say, hell no. I say it's time to take a stand.
And that's why I say we have to take back our mind, too, because, you know, because they have educated us. They've told us our history, your history. And so we have to know the truth. This is truth-telling time. And even with the slavery, I mean, they want to make it that, you know, they brought us over here. No, they did not. It was a lot of them. I trace my ancestors was already here. With the indigenous people. So, you
That's
know, and if you look at this from a business perspective, I mean, why would you get a load of people on a boat and you know that you're going to lose most of your cargo? That don't make sense. You're not going to make no money that way. So the story don't even make sense. You know, and then if you know anything about the Atlantic Ocean, they say that that's one of the worst ocean that it is. So how you go, I mean, when you start to really look at what the lies that they're telling us, and I'm not saying it wasn't slavery, but it's not the way that they try to make it. And I had a person on last night that his mother and his auntie was in the concentration camp with Hitler and them, and he said the exact same thing that Whoopi said. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what's the big. What she said was it was humanity, you know, evil one group of people against another. What is it that everybody is so upset about?
The Zionists are the ones
she said.
The Zionists are the ones who are upset because they're the ones that use that lie. Keep the people against one another so they can stay in control. They're the ones who put the fear into the humanity and continue to do it. It is just like Whoopi said. It's a what did Dr. King call it? I can't think of it right now, but it will come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to do. Dr. King said it. I was right on the tip of my tongue.
It'll come.
Yeah, it'll come. But she was right, and that's why I said let's stand now and support what she's saying. Now I know I got a lot of Jews the white boys gonna come at me. I can handle them. I ain't got no problem with them. I will handle their butts, and I'm sick of them. And I told them, I got one call me tonight. I told him. Come in with that crap. We got you this time. We're not going to let you go. It's time for people to know the truth. You know the truth, and the truth is going to make you free. And you must take a
stand. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that the most powerful energy that's on this planet is truth and love. And when you come from both of those positions, you know, that other stuff have to move over to the side. And this is how you're going to be able to show a lie. That's a lie. It's a lie. You have to show it with the truth. And that's what's going on. This is truth-telling time.
And that's what's missing among our people. We don't know the truth.
Right.
Because we've been listening to the lie for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need our own
school. Mhm. And we in a good opportunity for that because look, we did the homeschooling. you know, with the pandemic.
Absolutely.
A lot of people had to teach their, and so, I mean, it's already set up. You know, a lot of people still teaching their children from home. They haven't sent their children to school. So what is stopping us from doing the homeschooling? The opportunity is here.
Yeah, but we are stopping us, and they are stopping us. They have all kind of methods. This is why I say this is a spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we have to deal with these people, and we are not doing it. Our leaders, our so-called leaders, are misleading us for a few more dollars. Got 30 pieces of silver is still working, and we're not being told.
But I always hear people say, okay, well, tell us the solution. You know, there's a lot of people that want to make some changes, but they don't, you know, some people are good at creating, using their creativity, and some people don't know how to really use it because they've just been, you know, going along to get along and don't know. So a lot of people is like, yeah, but well, how do I change this? What do I do? So
you
for
organize.
People who have children, okay, and that's what the truckers is doing. And you see groups
right.
is very powerful. Mm-hmm.
And nobody's been shot.
So we haven't, is there? Nope.
Hmm.
And they haven't moved in on them either.
No, they
and
haven't.
And a lot of the mayors is giving in. They saying they're taking the mandates away.
Because they know that it's a lie to start with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It was a lie to start. And they stopped spraying us since 1974 here in this country. And we challenge mm-hmm. that, but, you know, people think you're crazy when you come at them like that. You know, they've mm-hmm. been spraying our air since 1974 with all your chemicals. You wonder why you've got these
yeah.
problems, and, you know, and all the things that are going on, chemtrails. And these antennas they put up all over the place. We protested the antenna here in Miami back in the 90s, and we made them take one down. So then they passed a law to make it a felony to protest the antenna. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And the power company here offered me so much money to shut up, and I refused. When I did refuse, and they stopped breaking in my place and beat me up a couple of times and you know, bankrupted me, really. And I had property that I was renting, and they went in behind me and told the people lies, and people believed them, and they stopped paying me. So I wound up losing stuff because of their, you know, their trickery. And then
mm-hmm.
when you look at it, well, who are these people? Okay? And if you do your research, you'll see it's the same people doing the same thing. It all goes back to the Zionists and those who are in control, those who want to stay in control and will do anything to stay in control. That's why Malcolm said by any means necessary. We got to free ourselves from this. But it takes an understanding and it takes a knowledge. It takes a knowledge. Don't smile in my face and put the knife in my back and cut my throat off. That's what you've been doing, and it's got to stop. So, you know, I know that's a lot. That's a lot for people to digest sometimes, but you can't deny it. It's all in your face right now. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't deny
it's out,
it.
It's out. Right. Before it was like behind the scenes kind of energy, but now it's all out in the open here. So now you got to deal with it. You have to.
You got to, yes.
So what about Mr. Brian? So what is going on there again? So you're having a press conference, right? And what are you talking about at the press conference?
At the press conference, it's merely, like I said, it's not about his personality or whatever, because I don't know his personality. All I know is this man had the guts to stand up and tell the truth to the public about what happened to him with these people. Okay, now we know it, but we would never say it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling Jim Brown. Jim, where are you? You know? So I finally met with a young man today who has developed a black-controlled football league.
That's what we need to go back to.
Oh, yeah.
Having
so
our own
he understands
team.
his ideas the same as our ideas, but, you know, he doesn't know how to do what we know how to do. He's a young man, but he's going to put this thing together. We're going to help him some kind of way. I don't know how to do what he does, but I know how to get the word out and let people know that if he's going to make it, we're going to have to back him up. He's going to have finance. He's going to have support. It's just like with what we're doing here. I don't know how to do all this computer stuff, mm-hmm. so I have to find people who can do it, but I find them, but they need to be paid. Everybody got to pay the rent, you know? So mm-hmm. we're working
right.
on it, and it's happening. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we the call-in number here is 323-642-1586, and push the number 1 if you would like to speak to our guest tonight. If you have a question or a comment, you know, we're looking at solutions. We're looking at we're dealing with a system. We're not dealing with just an individual. Yeah, we're dealing with them too, but they have put a system together. So I imagine we have to put our own system together.
Absolutely.
Or put another system, that's what's going on today. And hold on here. Okay, so what else? What else are we talking about? I'm looking for something.
Well, you know, the other thing is that while this is our land, when they came, they found us here. And we have to take it back because they took it from us, and we have to take it back. And we will, but not through their methods and not through their means.
Mm-mm.
One day these antennas are going to shut down. They're not going to be able to get any power. They're not going to continue to do it. I didn't know I was going to make it tonight. I got up this mm-hmm. morning. I couldn't move. I couldn't get out the bed. I had to roll over on the floor and crawl so that I got to the point where I could stand up. And when I stood up, I couldn't stand up straight. It was amazing I never felt
mm-hmm.
that weak before. So I realized that all day yesterday I heard all this noise outside in my face, the whole block. Florida Power and Light was there tearing up the street and putting poles up. And they were putting up a new leaf. Okay, love it, son. They were putting up 5G. I'm pretty sure that's what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And they had already put up one of those trees. They have trees that they designed. They have antennas that they designed as trees. So they've got this palm tree. I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to you.
Okay.
I meant to do it today because I felt so bad. And then when I thought about it, I said, these people are going to put up a 5G here. I live on the second floor of my apartment complex. And they put
mm-hmm.
that thing up
mm-hmm.
directly across the street and aimed directly at my apartment. So I haven't been back. I left. I called my son, got an Uber out of there, and I left. I'm not going back. I'm going to go back, clean it
mm-hmm.
out. I'm not going to stay there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is...
Mm-hmm.
that they're doing these kind of things. And you're vocal like
yeah.
I've been. I've never backed down off of them, never, never, and I never will. I want them to know that. And just hope that whatever happens, that they will wake my people up so they will know who we are and do what we have to do and run these people off the planet. My prayer is this. My prayer is for divine intervention and to remove these people from the planet so we can live in peace. Nowhere do they
mm-hmm.
go is there peace. Always turmoil, always taking over, killing, destroying everything they go. And we know it's true, you know, so it's time to deal with it in that way. You know, and like you said, I don't like calling names and all of that. You don't have to do that. But what you can do is hold your money. Follow the money and you'll find the
mm-hmm.
problem. Follow the money, y'all. You'll find
yeah.
the problem. And, you know, have some courage and some constraint. You know, we don't have to buy everything they're selling you. You know, cut that damn TV off for a minute. You know, all that stuff they're selling, all these all these chemicals they're selling you, calling yourself medicine. They tell you it's going to kill you. They tell you it's going to do this and going to do that, and you're still buying it? Come on. You know, and it's enriching them as they sell it to you. You got to start thinking. Start using your head. We are stronger than all that.
That's true. Yeah. And so, you know, that we really got to get back. It's like full circle, you know. We have to go back to nature, and that's the herbs and things like that, because the medicine will tell you, you take a medicine for a headache, and then when you look at the side effects, it's going to cause liver this and kidney that and all kind of problems.
Right.
So I'd rather deal with the headache than deal with all that other stuff that goes along with it. So we have to.
And we,
go ahead.
I'm going to say we have teachers, but the school system won't hire them. So bump them. To do that, we must organize ourselves, and we must put our own money together. We cannot continue to depend on a system that has never done anything for us, but enslave us, rape us, and take everything we have. What kind of sense does that make to stay in that?
And again, I'm referring to the truckers because I'm sitting here watching them, and they're not relying on the system. They went in and tried to took their gas. The people brought them some more gas. I mean, they got food, they got money. They took $10 million that they had raised with the GoFundMe. They set up another fund somewhere else. I mean, you don't have to use their system. The people is the system. When the people come together, I don't care what kind of army you have. And we got to recognize that and understand that. Go ahead. Go ahead,
right. I have to say, no, but if you got somebody wanting to come on, we can make space for them.
No, they not. They haven't raised their hand yet. Go ahead.
Okay. What they've done and with the demonstrations we've had in this country, they've brought troops in from other countries, put a mask on their face so you can't see them. They're not saying anything. They're not speaking. So you don't know that they're not Americans. And the people they're bringing in, they don't know or care about it, you know, the condition of the country or what's going on here. They've been brainwashed, okay? They've been given a pill or whatever, and they come in and you ugly things that we wouldn't normally do to ourselves or to each other.
Right.
So we have not put that in place yet. And that's when it becomes a war.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it here. They did it here back in 1980. No, I'm sorry. Well, ahead of the riots in 1980, but they did it in 1992 with the hurricane. Andrew, when I realized my house was one of those, my roof went off. I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm in the house. And because I followed the instructions of to put your mattress, get under your mattress and all that, I put my family under the mattress, my two boys and my wife under the mattress in the hallway. And that's the only thing that saved us, believe me. They're under the mattress, but I didn't. I couldn't run enough room. But it did. It took the roof. The trees came through the window and all that. So the next day, when the cleanup, you know, we started getting out and trying to clean up the place, community and all, you had to stand in line, telephone call, because there was no service anywhere. So they had the military set up telephone stations, and we had to go get in line to make a call. Well, I'm in line to make a call, and the next guy on the next line was standing there in a military outfit. You know, he had his gun and his military boots, clothes, and all, fatigues and all. know, and I noticed he wasn't saying anything. So I spoke to him, and he just nodded his head. He didn't say anything. He just nodded his head, and I thought that was strange, but I left it alone. When I finally got to the phone, he was on the next phone. He was speaking a foreign language. It was not Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what the heck? I couldn't believe it. So this is truth now. I went, and during that process, I had to carry stuff around to the dump. We have dumps here where you got to carry it around to the dump. When I got to the dump, the same type guy, it was a white guy in boots and mask and all that stuff, he wouldn't speak, with a gun, with a rifle, to the dump, to the trash dump. What the heck is going on? So I started calling around, called the Congress. My brother was the congressman at the time. I called him and said, what the hell is going on? I said, we got Russian troops down here? And he said, yes, but I don't know what to do about it. Because, the government is doing it. It's happening in this country. Believe me, the government is doing it. People in control of the country are doing
right.
it. So don't let them think that the Cubans came here on their own and invaded Miami, Florida.
No.
Don't ever think that. They
right.
were brought here by George Bush and put in position. I can prove it, and we know it's true, those who live here. So we got to understand, what we're dealing with and who we're dealing with.
They're doing it today.
They're still doing it today.
Look at all the millions of people that's just walking across the border, Texas and all of that border there. They just coming right on through, millions of them.
And you have to ask the question, why are they leaving their countries to come here? They're leaving their country to come here because somebody is causing problems in their country. Somebody is shooting them up and killing them and taking their land. They have nowhere else to go.
Mm. All about money, but a lot of them that I've been looking at, I see women and children, but I'm seeing a lot of young men, and that look like that they could be like, recruited for soldiers or something like that. I'm seeing a lot of young men.
They could be soldiers.
Yes, that's what I'm seeing here. Because, they put the women and children in there, but I'm seeing more of them men than I see the women and children. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Now, they could be military. Because this like what they having a problem with in Canada. The police officers don't really want to turn on those people. A lot of the police officers have quit because that's their families and people that they neighbors and stuff. So they don't want to turn on them people. So you have to bring in outsiders that don't care. And that's what they're trying to do because they're calling on the military. Go ahead.
I hope when they quit, they organize.
Well, they are with the people. I've seen some of the officers have resigned from there. I even seen today a major in the military. He resigned. So, and this is when I see them bringing the foreign people in because all of this is under the same group of people. Whoever this is, that's the Canada. It's all over the world. They rule in the whole world. So it's the same people. So
it's called a New World Order.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's the same people. Hitler tried it.
Mhm.
Didn't he? He tried it.
Yeah, but it's still him and his people because all they did, their grandchildren and things like that. And some of them probably, it's still that system. It's a system that they have put together. And so I say that the people is the new world order. That's what it has to be. But they got to wake up. They got to get their mind back.
Well, one thing we've suffered from is the lack of leadership among our people.
But I think a problem, and we got to look at what happened in the past to be able to, we can't keep doing the same thing. And I don't think that we need to just have that one person, like we had Martin Luther King and we had Malcolm X. So when they cut the head off, the body goes. I think it needs to be, you know, a group within a group. A circle. That's what they do when they have their secret societies and their secret meetings. And, you know, it's not just one person.
Well, they've learned everything from us and then turned it against us.
Well, we got to learn it back, right? And so we reverse it. They flipped it. We got to flip it back.
Let's do it. I'm down with it, baby, all the way. But the people have to wake up.
Oh.
You know how many people have come against me this week for doing this thing with Flores and particularly Whoopi? One guy said, man, what's wrong with you? Whoopi did this and Whoopi did that. I said, brother, it ain't about Whoopi. It's about the courage that she had when she spoke up. Well, why she go back and apologize? If you were in her position, you'd apologize too. But that's a woman. And these people, they just killed Frances Cress Welsing, one of the most brilliant women on the planet.
Yeah.
Wound up dead.
Yeah.
And I talked to her a couple of days before. What? She wasn't sick. What happened?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody has investigated. Mm-hmm. We know what the struggle was that she was having there. So we know what's going on, but we just ain't going to do nothing about it. We're scared. We're scared rabbits. You know, come on. We're cowards.
But we kind of also under a form of, I call it like a hypnotic state, you know, because they're using, when you hypnotize somebody, and they're doing it through the television and things, and they're using the signals. And if you listen to the news, it's just a constant repeating the same thing. That's a form of hypnotic. If they're putting that fear in you, if every day that they're putting a fear, you know, and that's why I feel, and with the chemtrails and the hypnotizing people and using these signals, these waves, we just have to learn how to raise our vibration. We got to counter that, you know. Once you understand what you're dealing with, then you know how to counter it. But we don't know if you're
teachers.
In a hypnotic state. Go ahead.
But we have teachers, but we don't listen to them. We know some brothers and some sisters who know all of this, and you're trying to teach us,
mm-hmm.
but we don't listen. You know, at least
we
don't practice what.
What do they say? It's only, I don't know, the Bible says, 144,000 or whatever. I know it's a metaphor. But it's the ones who do listen, that's who you form your circle. That's who you deal with. And everybody is not going to listen.
Mm-hmm. Somebody going to go right with the devil with all the way. Yeah, he got money.
Mm-hmm.
He got money. You know,
that's who
we have.
Well,
I've been called crazy.
His money is just a piece of paper. He just got a piece of paper, put some pictures on it. You know,
that's
so
right.
We used to have curry shells used to be money. I mean, stones used to be money. So, you know, we are able to. So what would you do today different from back in the day when you used to protest and when you used to try to change the system? What would you do different today?
Organize.
Well, y'all did it back then. Y'all organized back then, but what was the problem? Look at Dr. Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. They had a good organization going.
Not really. And what Dr. King said, I've been to the mountaintop, I've seen the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said, I believe I'm integrating my people into a burning house. That was the sign we're beginning to turn around. And I had said to him before, I said, Doc, you believe these people have a soul, but they do not have a soul. They can't have a soul for the things that they do. Things that they do are not of God, not to win the reserve. So when I said that to him, he was going to Selma, and I said, no, I'm not going there. Because if they hit me or if they spit on me, I'm fighting. So he said, Raymond, I don't think you should go. And I didn't. And I'm glad I didn't, because I'd probably been run over by a horse or dead because I'd have killed one of them trackers. Excuse my expression. They had to be, they couldn't be human to do what they do. How do you burn up the body, hang it to a tree and burn it, cut the testicles off? What kind of demon is that? How do you drop napalm on innocent women and children to take their land? That's what it's all about. Thank God them Vietnamese knew how to fight back. You know, so like I said, it's a spiritual warfare, and we can overcome it, and we can win this battle. But we got to organize ourselves and come together. We need to put a protocol together and organize. And everybody take a part. And don't go crazy for the money. That money's getting ready to change. Some things are really happening out there. All the information is not getting to us. But there is something going on. There are some people out there who've had enough, and they're doing some good things. Not gotten down to us, or to, she hadn't gotten to the population, to our communities, but it is happening. And it's not just black folk, y'all. There's plenty of white folk out there who are organizing and trying to deal with this. And I would just say to them, and I talk to some from time to time, as a matter of fact, I reached out to the president of the Proud Boys, who lives down here.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it was
a black guy in charge. Is that true?
Yes, okay. Yeah, and he's Cuban. He won't admit it, but he's Cuban.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
They won't talk. He's still as hateful as he can be. But you would think he would wake up if you were black. I mean, he ain't black. He's Cuban. Come on.
Like,
you know,
okay,
you know
he's
that.
Cuban. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But they treat the black Cubans just like the Americans treat the black Americans. You know, it's the same thing. You know, the black could get back. Brown, you stick around. You know, yellow, you mellow. You know what the deal is. But, if we organize, it'll handle a lot of this. We had marches back in the 80s. I used to have marches down here. In November and December, said, Christmas is coming, hold your money. Christmas is coming, hold your money. In other words, we're saying to the black community, stop spending your money with these people they're bringing in here. We don't own nothing. We don't own no corner stores. We don't own no gas stations. We eat food and we drive cars and we need gas. Okay? So if they're going to own everything and you're not going to benefit financially from it, why you keep spending your money with them? So what I did, I asked everybody to buy from one gas station, just one.
Mm-hmm.
The one that Hugo Chavez had. I can't remember the name of it now. It's been so long. But they did it. You could start buying from that one gas station, man. The prices dropped like rock. And, of course, Hugo, unfortunately, got attacked by this country, and he wound up being assassinated. But, the point is that it's in our hands to make the change. And be prepared, you know, but we're not prepared and we're not willing to do the battle that we have to do. So, I don't know.
So
is it that
we don't have strategy or what is it? Because I noticed and I remember when the heirs, because all the stores in the city was taken over by the air. And so, you know, a lot of them were black-owned mom and pop stores. And so I noticed that they took over the distribution the trucks that used to come up and bring the food to the stores and stuff like that, they took that part over first, and then they went up on the prices to the store owners, and then they end up buying them out. So they used the strategy to take over.
Yeah, but it's a strategy that was given to them. They didn't come in this country knowing all of that. Somebody taught them.
I know.
And somebody denied us from doing the same thing with our community. You know, and that's why I keep using Elijah Muhammad as an example. Elijah Muhammad had it together, but he didn't have to physically fight these people. And unfortunately, after he passed on, things changed. And there were no longer restaurants and schools and farms and the things that your nation had. But it's the same kind of thing that we all need to do if we're going to survive. Our land was stolen. Our farms were bought out, you know, and then they were forced up the farmers into this bad seeds that they're selling. And these pieces, you know, seeds that don't reproduce. So, you know, it's a big job. I mean, it's a big job. I don't understand why we as people can't see that we have to finance our own move. We have to organize our own people, put our own money up. You know, yes, the government has your money, and no, they're not giving it to you. So what are you going to do about it? It's my position. I mean, you're going to still allow them to take your hard-earned tax money and give it to somebody else? You know, here's Biden up here trying to give $450,000 to immigrant families. Get out of here. Are we talking about voting for this street? No, we need to have our own elections, vote for our own people in our own communities, and then let them represent us. That's what we need. That's one of the things we need to do. But we've got people we put in office. We think we're putting them in office, but we're not. The system is putting them in because whoever has the most money wins the election. You know, so, and they have all the money. America has the money.
But when they get there, even if they go in office with good intentions, when they get there, it's not too much they can do because they in that system. Now, like, you know, your brother was part of that system. I mean, I'm quite sure that he couldn't do what he wanted to do because he was in their system.
Believe me, he tried, and I said that to him. I said, Walter, that's their system. We need our own system.
Yeah.
You know, but we have been sold this bill of goods, you know, back in the day that we were Americans and part of the system. We're not a part of this. We're Americans, but we're not a part of that. Okay? Who's running the show? Who's in charge? That's where we messed up. Okay? Because, I mean, when you start sending my brother, my oldest brother, who's 96 years old next month, is a Tuskegee Airman. They fought World War II, came home, couldn't get a job, treated like dirt. Okay, right in our faces, and we did nothing about it. We still haven't done anything about it. Talk about it, but we don't do anything about it. So I just say we need to use all of that as fodder for organizing ourselves and changing the condition that we live under. And once we do that, others who are living under the same condition but don't realize it will support and join it. Because they know they're catching hell too, and they know that they don't, that, you know, that money keeps right on passing, goes into the pockets and the hands of the people in charge. They know that, you know. And they know these prices are going up too high, and we can't live, you know, food is so high and gas is so high and all that stuff, you know. They're making like it's shortages. There are no shortages. Okay, the shortage is in, you know, there are no shortages.
They make it. They make it a shortage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and then all you do is look at how they do it. What country was that? Was that Venezuela when they was a rich country, and then now they just poor? They did them the same way that they're doing, trying to do us over here.
Same people doing the same thing.
And so all we got to do. look at their pattern. They don't change their pattern. Look at the pattern. And learn from their pattern. You know, that's what I'm saying. You need to sit down and strategize. This is the time to create. Think outside of the box. This is what time it is. Get out, off and up under that hypnotic state. Again, 323-642-1586, push number 1. If you have a question or comment or to add in to what we are talking about, we have Mr. Raymond Fontroy with us. This is living history. He was the president of the SCLC. He was the driver of Dr. Martin Luther King. And so this is the time to, if you have any questions or any comments, this is the time to do it here while we have this living legend with us. I'm going to put on a tune and we'll come back. I'm going to put this tune on and we'll come back, okay?
Okay, wonderful.
Change now. This is definitely we in it now. That's Sam Cooke. Now tell us about the African American National United. What is that about?
Okay. First, I was president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference for Dade County and for the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And after working with that organization, the National SCLC, for over 20 years, I realized that they were just like the NAACP, not going anywhere, not getting anything done. But all the atrocities that are going on, they were not speaking up and not organizing to deal with the issues that we had to face. For an example, here in Miami, when I came along and decided that we needed to educate our people about money and how to put it back in your own community, and build your community, build your economic base. And I started doing those things and purchased my own, purchased property. And I taught over 300 children, young, not children, 300 young people to go into business, to sell shoes and shirts and clothes and stuff. And I did it through a thrift store, put it in my building, and I trained them. And the thrift store was making money, and they were getting a stipend from us, not much, but they were also getting a stipend from the government. But, they were learning how to be independent and not depend on a job, which is what I was saying, to create your own job. Sell your own T-shirts to your own people in your own school. Stop letting people come in and sell everything that you need in your school. Sell it yourself. So we started working that out. But I could never get support from my national office, which never would have happened under Dr. King. It never would have happened because he would have, supported and backed up everything that we were trying to do to help our people. Now, that didn't happen under the regime that was running it when I became president in Dade County. So as a result, I got attacked by the system, by the heads of the organization. So I resigned in 1999, and I started the African American National United Foundation. I was looking for an acronym for ENOUGH, and ENOUGH is enough. Is what I used. I used the slogan that enough is enough and that it takes a whole village to raise a child. And, of course, all of my slogans were stolen by the system. Hillary Clinton started using it takes a village to raise a child. Get out of here.
Right.
That's what she,
right.
She took that. And then enough is enough came out. And I said, okay. But I could not get Black people to support the organization to build it for ourselves. And I absolutely refuse from that day to this day to beg a system for anything that will free my people. If we're going to be free, it's going to be us that free us. Okay? And I just have to say it over and over again. Those who are making money for themselves, fine, I love that. But put something back. Support something in your community. Open up a business and put some young people in it to raise and train them and teach them. Don't put them out there to be taught and trained by a system that does not want them or does not like them or love them, I should say. So that was my idea of how we're going to do this thing. So when I came into community, and I'm going to tell you about Detroit because I did come up there. I have a friend who lives there. Came to visit him 1 year, and I said to him, "Man, how all these burnout buildings along the street here, and you guys got churches? How come y'all not rebuilding this? Waiting for the government to do it, waiting for the white man to come and do it. That's what it was." So I just got upset about that, and that's what has happened to us, so not only in Detroit but all over the country. We're waiting for somebody else to come. So they come from other countries, they open their corner stores, they take their money, they send it back home. Okay, and we're still struggling. Here we are struggling all these years later. Most of our children in jail are dead by the system. And it's our fault. I say, we can do better. We can do better than this. And don't look for a leader. You are a leader. Do what you know to do. And don't be afraid. We're scared of these people. If we think they think they're stronger than they are. They're not stronger than they are. I had a demonstration to prove this. I had a demonstration 1 year here when that's a long story, and I won't go through all of that. But I had a demonstration, and I had I had about 200 people, and we were demonstrating at the Torch of Friendship because Ronald Reagan was giving millions of dollars, $100 million to the Contras for war in Nicaragua. Same thing they always do, go into battle and conquer, put their money in. So I had a demonstration, had about 200 people with me. Some senators and our state senators were with me and others. And 2,500 Cubans showed up, just got off a damn boat, showed up, threw rocks and sticks and eggs at us and turned over cars and burned the American flag right on Biscayne Boulevard, the main drag in this town. And I'm saying, this is outrageous. But it just so happened, this is how God works, y'all. I had been fasting, and I was like on my 30-some day of a 40-day fast. And I had learned to fast from Dr. Alvina Fulton out of Chicago. And Dick Gregory, was a friend, my good friend, and they taught me how to fast and, you know, how to handle this stuff. So I'd gone through a lot when I first came here. And I wasn't afraid, but the other people, they were scared to death. And I went down off the, and there was a black police chief, by the way, at that time. And he was, he was pins and needles. I mean, but he was, electricity was on him. He begged me to take my people home, back home. I said, no, I'm not doing that. We're here. This is our land. This is our country. These people just got here, and I'm not about to let them run me up anywhere. Anyway, I got down to prove my point. I got down and walked through the crowd. The crowds opened a pathway for me to walk through, scared the death out of the people that I was with because they thought they were going to beat me up because they were turning over flags and throwing stuff, hitting hammers and all kinds of stuff at us. And I did that, and it made international news. It was all over the world about this particular demonstration. And I just couldn't convince the black community to do anything. They wouldn't come together. They wouldn't support the organization. They said I was a problem, you know, a troublemaker and all of that, you know. As a result, like I said, that was then, today, it's now, and we don't own anything. We run nothing. We don't have corner stores. We don't have gas stations. We don't have supermarkets. We have nothing. And it's our fault that we have not organized ourselves and take our money and put it to each other, turn to each other and buy from each other and establish it. We can do that, but we won't do it. You know, so we got to learn to do that, and we have to pressure our people. Everybody's got to start talking about how the heck we're going to get out of this. What's our future going to look like? What are our children going to do? What are our little girls going to do? What are our little boys going to do? You know, we're going to get wiped out because we're not doing what we should do now. You know, I get criticized because of Dr. King did this and Dr. King did that. I don't want to hear all that crap. Y'all listening to what they're telling you, and you're not looking at it because you don't know the truth. You know the truth and you're going to understand what's going on. You know, and we'll come together and do what we have to do. So, you know, that's basically what it is. It's simple. You know, I can hear a preacher now telling his people, well, y'all, when you go to get your groceries this weekend, you go to John's store over there or Susan's store over here. You know, that's the only place we're going to buy. And there was a minister in Montgomery, Vernon Johns. Vernon Johns was, and that's one of the people that I always hold in high esteem, because he was a man, he was the church that Dr. King took over after they ran Vernon Johns out. But they ran him out because he was trying to get them to do exactly what I just said. We have farms, let's bring our food in here, let's sell our food to the people in the church. And the church was saying, oh, you can't mix the church with money, and that kind of foolishness. And, of course, you see the movie on Vernon Johns, you'll see that it was the deacons in the church that were working with the mayor and the white boys downtown to keep the confusion going, you know, and talking against Vernon Johns. And Vernon Johns left with nothing, lost his family and everything else trying to help the people. And that still goes on today. And that's what happened with me and others, the same thing. We lose everything trying to help. And it's only because we won't come together and support our own cause and do for ourselves what everybody else does. When I lost my property here, my Chinese friend, because I used to buy my herbs from him, my Chinese friend said, Ray, he said, if you were Chinese, he said, well, what you have, I could take you to the council tonight, and you would have $200,000 cash dollars in a briefcase tonight, because I owned a lot of property at that time. But I couldn't get any money. The banks were redlining us. The church looked at me like I was crazy. Hey, you come here for help? No, but you ain't a member here. We can't. What? You know, so that's the kind of attitudes that we've had and the reasons we're in the condition we're in today. Because of the chief money makers in our community, the churches, the barbershops, the beauty parlors, and, of course, you know, the pool halls and all them guys, they make plenty of money, but they don't put nothing back. We don't fund our causes. You know, we'll put money in the Heart Foundation and the Cancer Foundation and the United Way and all them organizations that's controlled by the system, you know, that never benefits us. The Salvation Army makes millions of dollars out of our people, and we ain't got enough sense to open our own thrift store. Come on, y'all. Open your own stores. Get your people to buy from each other. Everybody's not going to college and become a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, you know, but we can do these things. We can count money, you know, and there's a lot that we can do to make life better for our people.
So
I'm just saying.
So the Chinese had their own council, right?
Absolutely.
They, you know, and
why,
so
why,
and,
why you
and
thinking?
I know.
No, go ahead. I was just saying, why you think there's so many Chinese restaurants?
And I'm noticing that they did the same thing with the Arabs when they came here. You know, I guess it was their council that set up, and they didn't get their money from the banks, not right away. Afterwards, they did. But
they came to their council. They came with their own money. They came with the backing of their government. And then this government, the government here, matched the money that they bought and gave them more money. They got an easy credit. So they matched. I had a friend. I did have a friend. I finally realized he was an agent. I had a friend from Ethiopia. He used to come to my meetings back in the day. He was a professor at the university, but he came with a sincere heart. But after years after, and this has only been the last 10 years or so, he told me, he said, you know, the American government recruited us and offered us Burger King. He said they're going to put us in a Burger King, give us the money, but we could not hire black people, black Americans is what he said.
Mm.
And he said, I wouldn't do that. You know, but I know he did now. I realize he did, but he lied. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, you know, I do a lot of talk shows and I do a lot of things, you know, relative to our people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Washington. I'd done a show up there called, what's the name of the Power Talk. And I went for that. And that night, one night, we decided to go to an Ethiopian restaurant there because they're all over D.C. and in Silver Spring. Maryland. So we went to the restaurant and we noticed that even people not waiting on us. What's happening here? And we started watching how they were treating us, you know, and they were. I mean, it was just like going into Mississippi in a white restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same attitude that we had in this Ethiopian restaurant full of black people. And I said to the guy with me, I said, you know, this is ridiculous. I said, so they're using, so what they're doing, they're bringing these people in, lying to them about us, number one. Telling them lies about us. Setting them up and saying that we don't want to do any better than we're doing, while they poison us with the food, with the water, with the fluoride and the crap in the water that we have to use, and with the drugs that they put in our community. So they're using it so that they can stay on top, in control.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it, because they know that once we wake up with the knowledge and with the power that we have, that they threw. They know that. What they don't know is that we're not going to do to them what they've done to us. We don't do those kind of things. We're God's people.
Well, they want the power. You know, they want the power. So taking their power away is what they're afraid of. There's a black guy that has a water restoration. Are you familiar with him?
I don't know who he is, but I do know
where he. Yeah, I forgot his name. And I mean, we got everything that we need. It's just getting people together, getting everybody in that council. That's what we need, to have a council, like the Arabs and the Chinese people do.
Well,
we need to start that.
Let's do it, Beverly. We just do it. I'm willing.
Well, we're on these airways, is there a way people can contact you?
Yes, my telephone, my email.
You want to give it? Okay, give out your email.
It's EdenVillage39@gmail.com. Eden Village.
Okay.
Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
39@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah,
let me say this. The kinds of calls I'm getting are from brothers and sisters who are in position, who can make things happen or cause things to happen. Once they decide, and once we decide to do what you're suggesting and do the things that others do, like finance our own businesses, finance our education, build our own schools. Chinese have their own schools, you know. So do the Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
So do the Jews. They all got their own schools, and they're teaching their culture. They ain't
mm-hmm.
teaching our culture. They're lying to us. So it's up to us to teach
mm-hmm.
our culture to our children, start our own schools. Nobody can stop you from doing that. And there's some who are doing it. So I believe that we're going to come together, and we're going to get this job done.
I believe it, too. I think it's been time, but it's like whatever that's going on in the atmosphere. I mean, people are starting to realize certain things that they couldn't see before. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Well, if you have any questions, again, call in 323-642-1586. If you have any questions or comments that you would like to talk to our guests with. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Hold on. 706-202.
Been better love, Sister Bev.
Hotep Kwame.
Hotep. Brother Kwame.
Yes, sir. Good evening, Brother Ray. And, you know, with us looking at organizing and coming together, the thing that I see is that each one that attempts to come in or comes in brings their special skill or their expertise. And the thing is that we need to begin to look at what do we need in order to make us free. And how do we see ourselves doing this with, I know it's going to be a limited amount to begin, but, you know, the few saves the many. And for myself, I see like the Overground Railroad. We just got other people stepping in and say that they want to have a station in their state or they want to have a place where people can come to in their states, like in Tuskegee and like in Maryland and Virginia and Mississippi. So what we're seeing is these small oases that began of our ancestor spirit and service. And it's the same thing I'm feeling that it needs to happen with being able to get those people which are dedicated and believe in that we can do this again, because we've done it before many times in this country, but each time it's been destroyed or it's been infiltrated. But we're looking at how do we reconstruct again the unity of community that we once had. You know, something as simple as having block clubs, or something as simple as having lessons on what runs your community in your zip code. Who are the people that are the political voices that we put in our community? Who sits on the school board? Who does the zoning? Who does the issuing of licenses for business in our community? Because we look at our communities and a lot of the businesses get their license, but the people that get the license don't look like us.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying to do like the system do? They put their people in certain places, in certain positions?
Right. And we have to look at what people are we going to be able to reach out to that are sincere about our freedom and our way of unifying the community. Because we look at, you know, something as simple as SCLC, or we look at CORE, we look at the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. These were small groups, and most of it, especially the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, were students. And where do we see ourselves on these HBCUs or college campuses putting out the knowledge and saying, how can you help us construct what's going to be for your generation and your children? Because it's each one has got to teach one, but we got to be willing to work together to get what we want.
So, like you said, go ahead, Brother Ray.
Well, I think the first thing that we need to look at is what is being taught and who's teaching it. So if we're going to change it, we have to start with teaching the truth of our people to our people. Because what happens in this system is we're being taught and brainwashed at the same time to believe that they, others, are more intelligent, should be in control, have more. And we have to acknowledge the fact that, or teach the fact, that we are very intelligent, that we built this country, and that we are kinder and gentler, more gentle people. They use that against us. One of our so-called presidents used to use the kinder, gentle, more gentle something, how he used it, but he used it. But he was not kinder, and he was not more gentle. And we suffered. And we continue to suffer. As I see it, start there, teach our own children, help our own families, pull us out of this poverty state, teach our people to put their money together and take that money and put it back into the people to help the needy, teach the children. It'll change. as long as we have this whole welfare system that they have put in place for us, things ain't going to change. You know, I get a check every month now, Social Security. That's how I live. That's the only way I can do it, because nobody wants to support the cause. They don't put the money in the cause, so you don't have to go that route. You know, but the Chinese do. Okay? All right. Everybody else does that. They have their own system, government within a government if you want. But they got it, and they're able to overcome. So I think until we begin to acknowledge the fact that anything we need to do, we can do it.
Right.
You don't have
and, and I'm feeling what you're sharing and about organizing. Something, you know, I tell people, you can go and watch us party, and what you can put on the music of the Electric Slide, and you get all of those people in that space, will unify. Everyone will be in step. Everyone will turn and do the little dips and do that. And that's unity on a dance floor. But how is it that we can do that on a dance floor, but we get together in the room and we attack each other? And so these are the things in which we have to look at. And the other part that I see is we were talking, and I was saying that, you know, Mary McLeod Bethune sold chicken dinners and made sweet potato pies and did fundraising to build a college there in Florida. And we've had many that began to just get out and do what was necessary and bringing about people contributing nickels and dimes. Carter G. Woodson did the same thing in starting the newspapers and the publications that he did by going and having the people in the community contribute their pennies and nickels to be able to print what was being needed to be read about who we were and what we had been. So we have what we consider as more, but we're doing less for ourselves than we did when we had less, and we did more for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Got a lot of noise.
I'm hearing a lot of noise in the background.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was me going into a bag. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you must be trying to get that meal down.
Yeah, buddy. I don't take time to eat sometimes, so I'm good, though.
Okay. Yeah, so, to me, like, it's a mind thing, and we know that this is a psychological warfare, spiritual, all of that. So, like you say, the other groups have schooling. They have their own school, even if we have to have an after school. But now it's set up that we're doing a lot of homeschooling. And I sent my grandchildren to an African Center school, and what I liked it about that was before they started school, they had to go into meditation. You know, you got to know how to tap in and how to get yourself to imagine and create. This is what it's all about. See your way through this. They had a garden there, so the children learned how to put their hands in the and Mother Earth, and they had to plant their own garden there. So, I mean, we got to do these things to our children, with our children, to get them out of their mindset.
Well, I hope that this is the continuation of organizing and doing the things that we can do for ourselves. For an example, I'm here in the state of Florida where you can grow food year-round because of the climate. And I put together a program, a farm-to-market program. I still have the paperwork for it, but I refuse to go to the government for money or to the corporation for money. So
So I went to the people who would benefit from this. We had our own, grew our own food. We had our own black farmers here, own land here, and we could grow our own food. I had created 100 black-owned truck drivers, truckers, who would truck that food. But you know something? We could not get money, the finances, to do it from our people. And we know full well, I did this before back in the 80s. I did a farm-to-market program where I had brothers up in Georgia to bring their produce down to Miami and sell it on the corners. We set that up. But then all of a sudden they started getting shot at on the road, on the trucks, on the road, and they could no longer do it because, you know, their lives were being jeopardized. So what I'm saying is that once we organize, just think about it. Up in Detroit where you guys are, and Georgia and other parts of the state, of the country, who have to have their food shipped in from other states, what better way to take care of your own people is to ship it from your own people because of the others lock you out. They charge you more for the same product, and you can't get the same product that they can get at the same price. So, you know, it's on us to do these things, and we can do it. We have everything in place. Just organize.
Yeah.
Oh, we just got to organize. And Kwame is one of the best organizers that I know for what he's doing. And Beverly, you obviously know what to do, and you're the communication piece. We can do this. That's why we asked the question, well, what was AANUF, the African American National United Foundation? Enough is enough. And we got enough to do anything we want to do. Let's do it. That's the only thing that I'm saying. Let's do it. And link up with other people who are trying to do the same thing.
So there's a group of black farmers, and these are some of the young farmers here. I see they have a group together. You know, like you say, it's what you put in your body and your mind that really makes a difference. So we could hook up
and,
with some of them. And like, go ahead, Kwame.
Yeah, and you know, you have that in Detroit. And what we were looking at last year, and we did a festival last September over there at Nature's Garden. And what we have at Nature's Garden is that she's got 47 acres, and what we were doing is looking at a young lady that came out of the military, was an engineer, and she started designing A-frame houses, where for tiny houses were just enough square footage where a person could live in or could have as a bed and breakfast and be able to, you know, come in and enjoy that. And so the Overground Railroad, and the owner of the land took 15 acres and dedicated and had the construction workers, the brothers that were building homes for other corporations, came in and said, we'll help, you know, help them build these if we can get the material. You know, and I look back at my grandparents, my great-great-grandparents, and what they did when they came out, they all got together, the two brothers and the sisters got together, and they bought, for 50 cents, bought acres of land in Mississippi that they still have up there, and that the family still has over there in Mississippi. They bought this, and they bought a land with a barn, and they took that barn, and everybody lived in it and slept on hay beds, and they farmed those fields and produced enough crop for that year to where they bought the wood and material to build the other brother's barn for his family, and they bought the acres of land next to them. What we have is we have blueprints and historical references that we can see how we construct. They build Rosewood. How did they build Tulsa, Oklahoma? How did they build those black bottom towns in Detroit? And what we need is that blueprint to see how that unifying that community we once upon a did. And now we're looking at, oh, they won't let us do this, or they don't want to do this. No, they don't have, unless you choose not to have.
Give. Yeah.
This is the
yeah.
thing that we have. We always looking at they, but we can't say what we can do. We're looking at they don't do this or they won't give us that. But we have the ability. And what I say that for is because the brother in Philadelphia sold all this stuff in his apartment, bought him an SUV and a trailer. And he came down here to Alabama and started working with black farmers. There was about six different black farmers with anywhere from 5 to 25 acres. And what they did was called work trade. That what the one farmer had a tractor and the other farmer may have had skills as an electrician. So he told him, he says, look, man, you building this home. He says, you need some wiring. I'll wire your house, but you got a lake on your property. Can my family come and fish, and can we get our fish from your lake? And that was the bartering system of the work trade that they began. Now they're working together, unified, and those five families are unified now in making their produce and using that equipment and helping each other to farm that land for all of them to be able to produce, not because, oh, well, you can't pay me, so I can't work for you, or that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And these are the ways in which we have to begin to look at. I had a Zoom call today with the young couple in Maryland. And what they did is they came down and they visited the land down there at Nature's Garden. And what they want to do is create a way for young people, millennials, that are moving and more so using conversion vans and buses and making tiny houses and traveling, because they don't want to live in a house. They don't want to be that. They want to travel and see the country and do that, or work from computer, because they can work for computer online anywhere where they can get Wi-Fi connection. And they're creating a database in saying that, okay, if you come down here, there's a place in Tuskegee. If you go up there in Maryland, there's a place here. If you go to Mississippi, there's a place here. If you want to dig for crystals, you can go over here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and you can camp out for $12.50 a day in your van and pay $12.50 and have hookup, washer and dryer, and all the amenities go with it for that $112.50. So these are the ways in which we're looking at how the Overground Railroad can go to the oasis where our ancestor spirit is in service. Because how many people, everybody talk about crystals and all the energy and the bling bling of crystals, but how many people know how to go and put their hands in the earth and get them out? And there are many places around the country. Right. And what we're looking at, the 19 black families here in Georgia, the Georgia Initiative, when they saw what happened to Aubrey, they said, no, we can't live this way again. They went and bought 97 acres down there, an hour from me in Toombsboro, Georgia. And they began, the first thing that they had was a big black camp out. And the first thing that they did when they had that black camp out with all those families came there and unified, we taught survival training and gun safety.
Mm-hmm.
How you can survive in nature by limited amount of supplies, but you'd be able to survive. If you got to protect yourself, do you know what type of weapon you would use if you're protecting your house, if you're hunting animals, or if you just want to have something that you can ride with? How do you use that? And so we've got to begin to train our own people. And like you said, Bev, you got your grandchildren going to our black schools and they're meditating. But Sweden even has it to where their children are not in classrooms most of the day. They're outside And they choose the curriculum and the project that they want to work on.
You see, Kwame, this is what I'm talking about. This is what organization is. You have a piece.
Mm-hmm.
We all have pieces of this puzzle. Let us bring this puzzle together. Let us bring the pieces together. I'm looking forward to going to the campground. I am. I'm looking forward to that. I love that. But I didn't know about it. So what happens is once we are organized and we have, like you call it, the Overground Railroad, once we have that in place, then everybody will know what we need to do and put up, I hope, will put up their resources to make sure that it happens. That, in order to do what you're talking about, you need money. In order to do that,
well, you know, Brother Ray,
we have to put it
I up. Like the barter. I like the bartering system too.
The work
you
trade.
Know.
That's what I'm just sharing. We don't need a lot of money to doing what things nature in itself. If you got a string, or if you got a fishing pole, and get dig up some worms, you can provide yourself with some fish. If you know what to look for in nature, you know how to find that certain food that is edible that you can cook and eat. See, we're looking at 5-star hotels and luxuries and things. No, we're going back to basics. You know, how you got to dig a hole and be able to use a 5-gallon bucket with some sawdust or sand and be able to be comfortable. Because it may come a day that we might have to revert back.
It is coming a day.
In terms of what we're doing.
Yeah, but it is coming a day. And what I'm saying to you is this. When you organize and you have people who know that, then they will be able to teach the people who don't know. A lot of people are not going to do that. I mean, a lot of folks ain't going to be interested in that.
Well,
you know,
see,
that.
That's the thing, Brother Ray. A lot of us didn't want to do what we did during the Civil War. A lot of us didn't want to do what we did in the civil rights movement. The thing about suffering and misery bonds people. When you're suffering, you unify. Because you have no other choice, because that person that may not have got along with you, they get in the same foot and they butt as you are.
They tell me about it.
That's what's going on.
Right.
That's what's
You're
going
right,
on.
And that's why I'm saying this. That's why I'm saying, yes, all these things are happening, and I've always said all roads lead home. And once we get organized to the point where we can cover all those worlds, where when you get the Overground Railroad working and we can pass that along to the rest of the people, they know that it's there and it's available and they have a number to call and we have a unity thing going, everybody's going to want it. Like you said, we're all getting beat up right now. We're all in pain right now. But there's no road map out of this mess. And one,
yes,
and
it is.
One road.
But the thing is that are you willing to follow this creator's GPS as opposed to your car's GPS? Because coming back to nature is the way that we're doing, because that's how we got put into that. See, we were colonized, plantationized, now we're urbanized. And in that urbanization, they've taken away the connection to Mother Earth. You're still on the planet, but you're on concrete, steel, asphalt. You're not connected. You have buildings blocking the sun out. You have all sorts of technology bombarding you with all of these microwaves and waves of frequencies that are not conducive to human beings.
I understand that. What I'm saying to you is this. You're right, and I agree. But what I'm also saying is that we need everything. All of those aspects need to be shown to the people. They need to know that what you're saying is real. We need to teach what you're doing. Okay, but if they don't know that, if they think everything comes out of the supermarket, they think everything is in the box and comes out of the supermarket. They don't know what you're saying, what you're teaching. So we need to teach that to them. But in order to teach that,
this is what I'm saying.
But it needs to be known that you're doing that. It needs to be known how to reach you and how to get involved in it. I need
how
to
get
bring
on
a
that railroad, that train.
Yeah, That's right.
And this,
but
this is what I'm sharing on when I mean I'm going on many. I'm on Female Solutions. I'm on Dry Bones. I'm on Truth to Power. I mean, I'm on different shows that I hear, feel the consciousness of the people and the need to have information. And I've watched over the years since I've been doing it. I've been here since 93. And I've worked with different organizations and different people and watched this thing grow. But it's not that I don't need no website. I don't need nobody, you know, trying to put it out here on flyers and all of this stuff. No, it's word of mouth is the best thing. And if your truth speaks for you, because you can, most of the people, when you talk about sweat lodge and camping and digging crystals, they say, well, check with Brother Kwame.
Okay, just like you talking about it now, Kwame, just like people listening, you know, a lot of people listening, but they were like, ooh, I would like to know how to get in contact, who to contact, well, you know.
Right. And
you tell us about it, but we don't. Mm-hmm.
That's what organization does. It puts in place a system by which we can plug everybody into our doing.
That's dangerous to a point, because that's what happened to the other organizations. We've got to be able to work amongst ourselves and to where, yeah, we'll put this on and we'll talk about it on the show. But when I sit out here in the campfire and I got 20 men sitting out here and we're sitting under the sun, and everybody got their tent sitting around a campfire cooking food and drinking coffee, we can discuss with the energy of nature what needs to be happening. And those ones that are there are sincere about it, because they wouldn't be sitting in the woods around a campfire if they wasn't being sincere with it. And so these are the small ways I've seen, and that brother that I told you about that sold his plate in Philadelphia, he heard me on his blog show. I did a talk for him, and he was so adamant about it and got in touch with me. And we really started talking. He quit his 9-to-5 in the office and said, I'll work online, and sold the stuff and bought him a trailer and an SUV. And he's still out here on the road working and doing what he's doing and looking for some land to buy. Sister in Texas did the same thing, came out of the military, and now she's on the road and she's looking at buying some land, buying land. It's that. You got to give them a way to see that they can do something different. Once you see them, it'll grow in them. I don't have to cultivate them. That's God's job. All I do is share the information. Once the light gets turned on, it will come out what's in them.
Go ahead.
Now, we have no argument there. I totally agree with that philosophy, and I know that it's going to come to that, because this place is going to be destroyed if we don't get our act together. And I'm not saying that what's going on is good for us, because it's not. I mean, we're locked out of all of the good stuff for this land. But what you're saying is absolutely true. We have to go back and learn how to survive, who we are, and what's available to us. And what I'm saying to you is this, from our perspective, we sit here with land that we can grow food year-round because of the weather, okay? And we need to connect with our Native American brothers who are doing what you're saying. We need to connect with them. And once we've connected, we have organized our people to take advantage of our true history and who we are and how we can change what we're dealing with right now. We can stop all of this craziness that's going on. That's my intent, is to put an end
and
to the
even
oppression
with what
of the
you,
people.
Right, and even with what you're saying, right there in Florida, there are a husband and wife, Lakota, come from South Dakota, that's in recovery that I met in Colorado and talked about, you know, getting in the program and working with the Native American program that I work with. They now are working in a treatment center there in St. Augustine, bringing in people that are suffering and homeless people, bringing them in, re-educating them in the ways that they can recover and building that person back up. Because a lot of people are tore down. We've got a easier to fix a broken child than it is a broken adult, because there's a lot more work to do. But if we start with beginning to save where we can, and what you were saying, Bev, is that they've got black liberation schools here, because I had the Black Star School in Atlanta come down when I was staying in Jackson and brought 13 boys from 7 to 14 years old in the school, and they sat around the campfire and we cooked food and got up that morning and made pancakes, and these kids had never sat around a campfire. Put them on the back of a horse, and they said it was better riding a horse than it was playing Xbox.
These are the ways
in which we got to begin to do this.
Mm-hmm. I'm in total agreement with you, brothers.
You're correct.
And this is what I've been doing for the past 30 years, you know. And the thing about it is that you got to reach them where they're at and begin the process of recovering and help a person to discover who they are inside, not outside.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start. It's an inside job.
That's that mindset. Yeah.
That's it.
I got to change that.
Talking about mining Bitcoin. No, you got to mine the human mind. You got to learn how
That's
to navigate
right.
your thoughts.
And that's where we need to start. And, putting all of these ideas together. Everything, put them all together.
Right. And this is why I commend Bev, because Bev, you're taking the techno and making it a tool for the spiritual work that we need to be doing. Because yesterday, just having that show, how many people knew that man? Well, Clint, what was his name? Cliff.
Lee Oscar?
Lee Oscar. And he played on War. How many folks knew, this man is a harmonica player? I mean, these are things. You had Miss Kim. You have Ray on here now. I mean, we got to use these things to we can use this for a techno to communicate worldwide and make an archive of it. But the thing that we got to do is we got to assimilate people and say, okay, we're having a gathering here at Nature's Garden in March, or we're having something.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a sister right here in Atlanta, Rosseki's Temple. She's getting ready to take a group of people that look like us to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas. They rent a house on the lake. Everybody contribute. House has got everything you need in it. Only thing you got to do is bring your food. And they have that to where you spend. This is in the first weekend in April. And I can get her to come on the show and talk about what she's doing for there and saying, okay, but these are the ways in which we use this. And then when we get there in that house and we get out there on that land digging it, that's when you communicate other things and you see what other people have to offer and their modalities.
Yes.
This is how we have to do it. Right. And this is what I'm sharing. And there are other events that come up and saying, okay, here's an event, and I bring the person on that they talk about it. I can get the sister and brother that I talk to and talking about the way out. And they're going on the Overground Railroad because they're looking at how millennials are buying vans and converting them into trailer homes, van homes, and converting them and traveling across the country. we got to network these type of ways of doing, you know, for a tiny house to where you build a A-frame house with maybe two rooms in it and all of the plumbing and things you needed in it, tiny house. Because when I was homeless in Colorado in 2017 and camped out there at Cheyenne Mountain in a camping park, and the elder told me, and I said I was homeless. He said, "No, you're never homeless. The earth is your floor, the sky is your ceiling, the mountains and the trees are your walls. You just need a place to put your stuff in." That's what we need. That we don't need a lot, because you look at, I sit here in this trailer. I'm sitting on 4 acres and look across the street at a lake that's 240 miles long. I don't need a lot of space, just enough to put my stuff in. And the earth is my home. We got to stop looking at, you got to have 5,000 square feet and houses right on top of each other. No, you don't. That's good for some people, but we need to do more with less.
So about the drumming, Sunday, I have a show that's coming on Sunday, but I want to do at 3:00, I want to do the drumming on the air, or from 3 to 3:30.
Right. And what you could do is find people that's drumming and they can set their phones there and set it down and start drumming. You know, and these are what ways we're going to begin to do this. We got to network it to where people can call in wherever they are in the world and say, call in the Truth to Power at 3:00, because we're going to allow you to speak where you're at and who are the people listen to you drumming. And that way that gets to keep that sound going across the country. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is already happening, brother. We've been doing that all year, and it just has. We just didn't set it up so you could call in, but you know that you drum at 3:00.
That's what I'm saying.
They're doing
that's
that.
That's the advertisement.
They're praying, and they're doing that, and they're changing the condition that they're facing in their communities.
Right.
And we got
so many examples
that they didn't
know
about drumming or what it meant. So now that they're doing it and people are supporting it, and of all nations, I mean, it's working very well.
And I told you, and I shared with you about the program I work with White Bison. It's a native program. What they're looking at doing this year is getting 100 drummers, native drummers, to go to the mouth of the Mississippi and to beat that 100 drums, because they're looking at the 100 monkey theory, and they're doing this in order to stop the dropping of feathers. That means to stop the committing of suicide of young people in the different reservations and the different communities, that young people are killing themselves in epidemic levels. And so what we said that we got to do is that we're going to get the drum, we're going to get 100 drummers. And we're going to have that weekend convention wherever we find the space at, down on the mouth of the Mississippi, and we're going to drum.
Well, Kwame,
and I'm just finding out. Go ahead, Brother Ray.
No, I was just saying that we've been drumming on the Atlantic Ocean for years now, but we didn't know about the Native American move to drum, and we did not invite them because we didn't know them. But now that we know them and they are supporting the cause, we continue to do what we do on this end, but join whatever anybody else is doing to cause a change. And
right.
Drumming is something that we never knew about, never were told about it. So now that we know it, we're doing it, and it appears to be working very well. But like I said, until we get organized so that everybody knows what's going on all over the place.
And
right
there in Miami, the guy moved from Iowa. And he moved down there Mac, and Mac and Angel moved there. Angel is from Cuba. He's a percussionist, a Cuban percussionist, and they're playing gigs right there in Miami. And I've told Mac about you.
And, he called. And, I just speak with him.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is that got to get in touch with them because they know a bunch of musicians, and especially Afro-Cubans that play the
and that's what I'm
there
getting ready.
In Miami.
And that's what I'm getting ready to do a show about in March about the Black Cubans playing their music. So they need to connect here too, so people can hear that.
Right. And mm-hmm. and I can get in touch with Mac and see if Angel and Mac will come on and talk about what they're doing. Because what mm-hmm. Mac is doing, he was a DJ, and what he's doing is he's taking the Latin music and the Latin hip hop, and he's mixing it. The different venues of Latin music, percussion and Latin music, he's taking it and revising it. And so this is what he's doing there, and him and Angel have been down there since last year because they stopped on their way to Miami here and stayed with me a couple of nights.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's
well,
like me. I'm just finding out about the drumming. You know, I'm just finding out about it. So now I want to put it on the air. So, you know,
right.
That's what it's about, everybody connecting. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Now, your buddy
and
Angel
is...
called, but he never called me back, and I invited him to the drum because I knew he was new here, and he hasn't called back and certainly hasn't shown up to any of the drum.
Well,
sessions.
I mean, I'll get back
so
in touch with him, and I'll get back in touch
but,
with him and
yeah,
tell
let
Mac
me,
and
let
say,
me say this too.
You know.
If he if he's Latin and he's listening to the Latins, there is a tremendous division here based on you know, where you're from. I don't care if you're black or white. You know, is the division here. Either communist or you're not or whatever. They play the games that they play, the political games. So I assume that because he had not called back or sought to come in, then, you know, that was part of the problem. But
no.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised of it, but I can't see why, you know, if you're in a new community and you're invited in, you wouldn't come and offer or just to, you know, just to be a part of. But whatever it
no,
is,
no, because
is.
The way, okay, I tell you how Mac and Angel and all of us, we have a gathering we do on the Mississippi River up in Navajo, Illinois. And what we do is we bring children out of Chicago and we have them camp out there for the weekend. And we do training with them and talking with them and helping them, you know, whatever it is that they're doing and motivating them because Big Bai was a brother that lived in Chicago and he did rites of passage with different organizations in Chicago, young people in Chicago. And he still has a connection with the organization. And we bring those youth down to Navajo. And what we were doing before COVID hit was because we would bring the elders and the young people. We would have meetings with the young people to see what it is we could help them with. What are the things you what can we do to help you? And that's what their heart is at. They're not into the political stuff. They're trying to save us.
Well, you know, like I said, when you come into a new community and you're invited in and you don't come, I wonder, you know, just what that is all about. But it doesn't matter. The drum still goes. We still drum on Sundays, 3 o'clock, every Sunday.
Right.
Internationally. And it's working. And people are, you know, like you said, they're calling in from Africa and other countries and across
right.
the United States.
And now we Bev has just offered a show to where now we can have Truth to Power. And those people that are
mm-hmm.
on the line at 3 o'clock when she opens the line can say, I'm
yeah.
in Chicago, I'm in Ghana, I'm in, you know, South America,
yeah.
I'm in Miami.
Right.
And that place,
yeah.
and then let them drum and the persons can hear the drumming going on and the person there that's talking and conveying is what their group, how many drums are there, how many people, what are the data that's going on in their community that they're drumming for. That's the way we begin to network. And that's the way we begin to get what you started, even to grow bigger, because people that listen to Truth to Power, you know, there was a sister that said she heard out in California was listening to Truth to Power and heard me talk about Nature's Garden or it was one of the shows talk about Nature's Garden, and she inquired. Now she's talking with the sister that owned the land from California because she heard it on the show.
Yeah, it's about networks. That's what we're here for.
Yes.
That's what I'm here for.
Word of mouth is your best advertisement.
Well, I just want to say again, at 3 o'clock this Sunday, we will be doing the drumming.
All right. Well, I just had to chime in. Excuse me. I just had to chime in because I laid here and fell off. I said, okay, I got to call in, and I nodded off, and I woke up and went, oh, shoot, let me catch it.
Yeah, well,
it's the same. That's the same thing.
Yeah,
I have to do. I got a press conference at 10 in the morning, so I got to get up and get ready to be there.
Okay.
And
get
this thing going.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you guys go, and thank you, Brother Ray. Thank you, Kwame. We're making this happen, and join me Sunday at 3 o'clock. I'm going to open the lines up for the drumming.
Okay,
and thank you
Mac
again.
Ray.
Okay.
All right,
Brother Ray.
Have a wonderful evening, and
okay.
I'll talk to you Sunday. All right,
better
okay.
love.
Thank you. Better love, everyone.
The night finds you. Don't be afraid. Swallow your pride and be thankful before it's too late. Do you wanna feel my love? Do you wanna make your dreams come true? Then you gotta let your praise. Well, just live with these lies. It's a waste of time to be hateful. Love's all the same. You'd be wise to be grateful. Well, it's just a charade. You make it what you want it to be. Without love it's a crime. How could you be right for so long and be losing your mind? Ooh, do you wanna feel my love? Do you wanna make your dreams come true? Then you gotta lift your praise. Just live with these lies, alright. Do you wanna feel my love? wanna make your